Blog Talk Radio.
Well, all right. Hope you had a wonderful, happy Mother's Day for all the mothers out there and the sons and daughters. I'm sure that you all took care of the one who birthed us and, gave us a lot of support, and carried us for 9 months. I want to first off saying thank you for taking your time out of your busy schedule. It's May, but guess what? It's going to be June next, and we have a great show for you. And, to be sure, performing arts have been around since Rome, and they have found locations and place up in, Broadway and New York and L.A. and some of the other cities. The need for performing arts to have support now needs to be something that has a home in every state, in every city. We have a gentleman here today that's going to try to make a strive to that, make that happen here in the metro Atlanta area. We have Mr. Sean Hutchinson, and he is having a play that's going to be here local. I think that although we have a lot of culture and a lot of entertainment, but the performing arts just really gives us that increased exposure, and especially when it's done locally for those who don't have the ability to make it to Broadway, to some of these major plays. But before it was Xfinity, people used to go out to dinner and a play, okay, and not a dinner and a movie. So with no further ado, I want to introduce one of the top five entrepreneurs in the state of Georgia. She tracked over, down to Valdosta, and congratulations, Morgan B. Matthews, this weekend when she graduated from Valdosta State. She also is very knowledgeable about Mr. Hutchinson and the play that he's going to be talking about. So I would like to introduce her first and then have her introduce Mr. Hutchinson. 1 second, please. Tricia?
Yes, Tom. How you doing?
I'm doing fine. How are you doing?
I'm doing wonderful. Just got back from Valdosta State University for my daughter's graduation, and I'm feeling great. And Mother's Day, too. Thank you for saying Happy Mother's Day to me, to all the mothers.
And I guess what? Hey, guess what? I'm going to ask Sean. That's a heck of a Mother's Day gift to have a daughter graduate with flowers all on the cap. Come on. So,
yes.
That is okay. So I guess what, I got mine a card and made her dinner. Okay, but guess what, you got me beat. Can you tell us a little bit about your experience? And first off, we want to get on Mr. Hutchinson, but what was your feeling like when you experienced it?
Well, when I first met Mr. Hutchinson?
Mm-hmm.
Or the play. Well, okay, first of all, I met Mr. Hutchinson about a year ago. He had another play that he was performing in Decatur, and that play was excellent. And the play that he has coming, which is Karma, that's one that I'm really excited about, because I got an opportunity to meet some of the cast members of the play, and it was really exciting. And I think that this is going to be a very exciting thing for the city and for other people to come and come out and take a look at.
Well, with that, can you introduce Mr. Hutchinson?
Mm-hmm. Sure. I want to introduce Mr. Sean Hutchinson. He is a very young entrepreneur who's very ambitious, and he has a lot of big dreams that he wants to bring to the screen. And I want to bring on Mr. Sean Hutchinson, who is the man, the speaker, the author, and the playwright of Karma. Without further ado, Mr. Sean Hutchinson.
Well, greetings.
Welcome
and good evening, Tricia. How are you, sir? Mr. Lizzie?
Fine.
Thank you for having me on the show.
Well, I want to ask you first, Sean, if you could, is to tell us a little bit about yourself and where you came from to have this idea. Now, Trish is saying it's a dream. I think you probably say it's just, you know, something I hadn't got to yet, right?
Well, thank you so much. Really, it comes to the point where, there's always a beginning when it comes on to, you know, pursuing dreams or visions. And for me, you know, starting out writing was from back in the church days when you write those small skits and plays and small dramas for your youth group. And during that period of time in Connecticut, it was more like a training camp for me, really, because I was very creative in just changing things up and bringing new ideas to the way traditional plays were done, you know, those Easter plays or those Christmas plays. And in the process, you know, by doing so, you start uncovering your creativity or your ability to make things look different. But most importantly for me was really trying to align things that can make sense and can be relative to life. And I'm a lover of life. I love people. I love humanity. And I'm always trying to figure out how can I make someone's life better. And I promised myself, I would say over a few years now, that if I can impact a person's life every day, whether it be by deeds or kindness, then I would have done a great job. And so with that, I wrote, as Tricia mentioned earlier, my first feature film about a year, 2 years ago, called Burning Bridges, which we did showcase that indicator. And, you know, that's still doing well. But since then, you know, once you do one project, you're always been asked, okay, so what are you doing next? And what's your next project?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so I recently went ahead and wrote my second book called The Secret of the Ambitious Mind. And that book is really my story because I came from a very humble beginning. And writing The Ambitious Mind is just really telling a story within a story of who Sean Hutchinson really is, how he views the world and how he sees the world. But also, the same way I see the world, everybody sees the world almost the same way, but in their own fact, in their own mindset. And so pursuing dreams and pursuing your vision, whatever your goals are in life, seriously doable. But what it requires is that ambitious mind. And so when I completed that book, I was writing Karma. And Karma came about because, again, just the person that I am, that just love people so much, every time I've listened to someone respond to the word karma, it's always, you know, that negative connotation behind it. You know, karma is the big B. I call it the big B. And so, you know, I was just curious to look at the word in itself, karma, and ask myself a question, and really, why is karma? Because the truth is karma is not necessarily the big B. It really determines the fact that, you know, based upon one's actions, then it kind of creates a consequence that follows one action. So if my actions are good, if what I continue to sow is good, then karma won't be the big B, as we normally say. It's going to be good stuff that's going to follow through. And so I wanted to bring a different attention to that simple word that everybody just uses as a cliche. You know, karma, you know, karma is a B. You know, I did something bad, it's going to be a B, you know. So
right.
I wanted to change that. I want to change all that, you know, Tricia. And I think with karma, even though in the play itself, brings in a roller coaster ride, really, to bring both and allow you to see that karma is not always the B. But yes, if you're so bad, then don't expect to reap good. And if you're so good, expect to reap good, you know. So hence, you know, I created this very interesting product that I think really captivate a lot of, well, all the people that came out to see it. The response has been tremendous. The feedback has been crazy. To be honest with you, I know it was going to be good to be, because, you know, as a writer, you want to be confident about what you write and extremely ambitious. But it was overwhelming to see the response that we've gotten so far and why we decided to go ahead and put it back on again. Because if you remember, the first one, we had just about 200 people. At this recent one we did, and that was crazy.
Right.
Tricia?
Yes. Yes, I'm still here.
Right. Would you agree?
What Sean was asking you, would you agree, Tricia?
Yes, I agree. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Now, let me ask you, Mr. Sean, what is it a play about? I mean, just give us a teaser. I know this is what we have to pay tickets for, but can you give us a rundown on the character, or you know, how many's in the play, you know, what is it about? I know it's going to be intrigue. I know it's going to be something that you're going to be, you know, sitting at the end of your seat, you know, of what, you know, trying to figure out what's going to happen next. Can you just give us, you know, just a piece of hint?
Absolutely. Well, I'll tell you what. Without giving away what's in the bag, I could give the jingles, yeah? And so
yes.
What's fascinating about this then is Mr. Livesey, as I mentioned before, the roller coaster ride, and I like it's a setup where because I'm from the background of the church, I always try to find ways in which the message can get across to a wider audience without being prejudiced in any shape, way, or form. And so
mm-hmm.
it is set up with a pastor's background. And I thought it would have been the most creative way to bring this play to life if I utilized the person that preached forgiveness, teach forgiveness, teach transparency, teach the things that are right, but at the same time struggles with it. And so in this play, there's a young woman, and you have to use I use those things that are very of great facts. There's a young woman that who have been through a lot of abuse, and it always sound like they're all the same thing. But the thing that makes it so unique is this: she has been through a lot of abuse. Well, not her mom been through a lot of abuse. Her sister went through the same thing. It was physical, emotional, and they end up becoming single parent because the father that they were around was just no good at the end of the day. Well, this young woman looked at that lineage and that generational, I don't use the word cursed, but the generation movement, if you will, of her mom and her sister going through the same thing. And she's saying to herself, well, that's like a for a second generation, I'm going to be the third. It's not going to happen to me. So she made a decision early in her life that she would not allow her life or herself to be abused by a man in no way, shape, or form. And so when she gives herself to a man, it's going to be to the man that she loves. And it wasn't necessarily requires marriage. It's just the fact that it has to be love and what true love meant to her. And so she went through the course of life, you know, in her early years to avoid the entrapment of being caught up in, you know, just with any man. And she finally found this one man, or came across this one man that he was it, and he displayed it very well. The misunderstanding was this: how the things that was extremely serious to her was extremely, not extremely, was very light to him, if that makes sense. So she said she's not giving herself to a man. She's going to stay sane, stay away from intimacy until she got, you know, until she fall in love. She wanted a man that can respect her and embrace her self-worth. And she met this guy, and he was displaying all that. But at the same time, he was young. And the things that she took extremely serious, he just didn't see as serious as it was. And, of course, in the world that we're in today, you know, it's like everything's almost free for all, even when we talk in love, because we kind of throw that word around so loosely. And that created a platform because she ended up giving herself to him after he got engaged to her. And unfortunately, months later, it did not work out. But she had given him warning before that she do not want to fall victim to the past of her mom and her sister. And he dished her the same thing. And so at that point, she made a promise to herself that she's going to go back at him whatever it takes, because he had moved on and left her. And fast forward 12 years later, he became a pastor, and his life became the dream life that he always wanted. Got married, settled down, had his daughter, and life is good. Preaching a megachurch, life is great. But then at that point in time, her name was Karma, but she chose to disguise herself to caught up with this man. And so, hence, she named herself, she changed her name to Siri. And she created this, she orchestrated this plan that was just genius, just to get back to meet up with this guy. And, well, I can't really say all the things that unfolded at that point, but it's a background of, you know, a woman's bitterness. But one thing I will say is, in the course of her falling back up with him, she gave him opportunities to redeem himself, which was one of the biggest pieces of the message. Because I believe, as I pay attention to my whole life, and those people around me that karma is a process. You know, nothing that you sow comes up right away. And so if you do something ill to me over a period of time, if I had done Trisha something wrong 5 years ago, and it so happened that I have the chance to connect with Trisha again years later, it's for me to be that person to say, you know what, Trisha, I've done wrong to you before, but you know what, during that period of time, I was not in the right mind. I was just off. I was totally wrong for what I did to you, and I'm hoping you can forgive me, or I hope I can. My apology is accepted. Now, at that point, I would have relieved myself of the karma coming around back to me to bite me in the wrong way, because I would have reached out. It's up to Trisha at that point, Mrs. Bailey at that point, to say, well, you know what, Sean, no, I don't want to apologize from you, no apologies from you, or for her to say, well, you know, I accept the apology, and life would have changed. There would be a paradigm shift at that time because the energy would be flowing right. Or I could see you, I've not done wrong to you, but act up even more evil towards that act that I've done before. And that only going to allow Mrs. Bailey to react even a more detrimental way that can end up costing me, you know, a lot. So I believe that there's room for a paradigm shift when it comes down to karma. So in essence, what I'm hoping to accomplish moving forward with this production is what I like to call, you know, the karma movement. How do we sow good energy and continue to reap good energy in the lives of other people?
Well, Sean, I have never had any experience with bitter women. But I have had situations, and Trisha will atone to, recently that I had, you know, kind of as entrepreneur, as a busy person, as a person who's trying to do so much for so many people in the community, sometimes you get, you know, you can't see everything in front of you. And, you know, sometimes
right.
you say some things that you don't really, you know, think through and process
right.
because your brain is already on pull, you know. And so I had the opportunity, without saying any names, to make contact and, you know, and give my apology. And, you know, because I smelt that if I did not, something would be burning in the kitchen soon. So with that being said, Trisha, how do you feel about, and Trisha and I, we've done several talk shows. We talked to several female entrepreneurs, several writers and authors, and just like, you know, a lot of the authors, a lot of people who write, sometimes it comes out of a dark closet of emotions, you feel me? And they are able to kind of really release a lot of it in their writing and in the plays and in other, you know, creative ways. And so domestic violence, and see what our town is about. We care about our women, our children, our seniors, our, you know, nation communities, and our country's future. So I am real, real hard on anyone when it comes to domestic violence. That's just a no, you know. And sometimes these, you know, women, they get caught in the opportunity or in the dream world of this, you know, rich man coming and going to put them up in a house and a car. And even if that does happen, sometimes these they can find themselves in an abusive, controlling relationship. Isn't that right, Trisha?
Can you hear me, Tom?
Yes. Yes. I said, isn't that right? Yes.
Tom, can you hear me?
Yes.
Can you hear me?
Can you
confirm? Okay, let me ask you a question. Yes, I can. Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Let me ask you a question, Sean. Do you think that this play, the what you wrote, was it from someone's experience that you know personally? I mean, is it something that you kind of, you know, somebody gave you the idea, or is it something that you got personally, your own personal story?
It's funny you ask. Well, not personal story. I think if you should ask me, honestly, I think I've worked with, I volunteer in Gwinnett County for a number of years, working with a lot of young people. And when you sit down and work with these young people, I'm extremely passionate about, you know, working with these single-parent youth because, of course, there's so many challenges that they're faced with. But when I look at the fact of what they're up against, and trying then, how can I do better? How can I empower these youth a whole lot better? I have zero tolerance, as Mr. Business said just now, towards any man. I couldn't care what man you are, any man. I couldn't care what level of power you're in when it comes on to abusing a woman. I think a man that abused a woman is a coward, and that's a very strong word, because I just can't understand why any male figure who's supposed to be an authority, who ought to be the one to protect, to defend the queens of our land, can find the audacity to insult them, whether by words, whether by physical abuse, or any other shape, way, or form. So I think for me, it's driven from just paying attention to a lot of my atmosphere and working with different people, different parenting, and different facets, and realizing a lot of what I've wrote about karma has been the fact of, you know, the outlay of how men has behaved. Now, I'm not beating at men, but it's just some of what the fact is. You know, a lot of the single parenting, you know, a lot of the men have just walked away from their responsibility, and the stories are horrendous. Some of them, I just can't understand them. So I think really it kind of conjures from that atmosphere, just working around that atmosphere and realizing that, you know, there is a need for men to really step up and say, you know what, I'm going to be the king to this queen. And I'm really meaning that, you know. And then finding ways to, and finding ways to invest in them, you know. And, you know, I listened to you just now, Tricia, and the excitement in your voice about the success of your daughter. And I applaud you because you stood and you supported your daughter, and now you can reap that karma of her success.
Yes.
And I myself had the privilege of making extreme amount of sacrifice recently with my wife. We have sacrificed the last couple of years, and she herself graduated from Brunel University this past weekend with a nursing honors. Thank you so much. You know, with a nursing degree.
Congratulations.
Thank you so much, Mr. Lizzie. And the idea behind that is I looked at her doing that. We have two wonderful kids, and, you know, and I work full time. People ask me, so when do you write books? When do you write movies? Well, my ambitious mind talks about that, because when I get home, versus watching, you know, soccer or NFL or basketball, NBA, whatever it is, I'm in the books. I'm being creative. I'm up till 3 o'clock in the morning, and I'm at it, because I'm trying to build a legacy that my son and my daughter can come to see and be exposed to, that they can replicate that and impact other lives, because humanity is going to go on and on and on until whenever God's ready for this land. So we need more of us to sow that seed of positive energy, that flow that's going to continue to motivate and inspire us. So I think that's where it really came from, just working in that atmosphere, you know, where you kind of hear and see and observe and discern so many different things, and you're trying to find a way how to invoke yourself in it to make a change, to just switch things up. And I guess that's why it's so ambitious, because, you know, it's not something that Sean can do. It's going to take teams of people to do it. Trisha's team, Mr. Lizard team, you know, just so many different teams to come together and make it this morph into this huge thing to people, for people to see it.
And I think that's so important, like you said.
Right.
I think that's so important what you said about people being positive, you know, having those circles that are positive in your life, and I think that's very important. And let me ask you another question about your cast member. I see you have a diverse, you know, cast members. How did you go about picking those cast members? And like I see the young girl, Promise, I met her. She was so cute. And how did you come about getting the characters that you have?
Well, I guess it's the world I'm in, right? So by birth, I was born in this wonderful island of Jamaica. And I grew up in Connecticut. And when I met my wife, she's from England. So I started traveling back to England. And, you know, doing a lot of speaking in England, you get to move around a lot of different culture and different people. You know, and being in London, it's like a melting pot. You know, and it really is. It's like New York. And so I guess when I started writing, my view of the world was very colorful. And I love a colorful world, because if everybody was white, then it would just be plain. If we all were black, we'd just be just the same pale. I mean, so when I look around, everything has that beauty. It brings the beauty when it's so colorful. And for me, because of the way I see the world, I figure when I do my product, whatever I'm working on, I need to bring that colorful world together. And to identify mm-hmm. what you're saying, for me, karma was a perfect way to bring, again, you know, a cast that was diverse together, because karma does not happen to one group of people or one entity. You know, it happens to everybody. So I had to find a way to bring each person into it, and for them to not just to do it one way. And I think that's what a lot of people call me back and like, man, it was one of the most original creative play that we have seen in a long time. Because like for the Indians that perform in the play, they didn't perform something that was just you know, an American culture. They perform their culture, but then they were able to extend into the Jamaican culture and vice versa. So, you know, it kind of just show you how much when we connect as a people and as a body, you know, how much we can do, because then I'm going to learn Trisha's world. She's going to learn my world. Now we both understand a whole lot more about our world. How much more impact can we make? It's crazy what we can do when we do stuff like that.
Right.
And now, excuse me, as coming around the corner, and I know you are extremely busy, Mr. Hutchison, and you're getting ready to do, obviously you're probably working on another book here in a minute, but I would like, if you can, first to say come back, you know, during the play, you know, after the play, before the play in June, and let us know how successful it was. But if you can give your contact information, the prices, and where can they, you know, people purchase tickets, you know, prior to the play, and where is it going to be located?
So the next production will be back at the Shallow High School Theater in Snellville, Georgia. That's going to be held on June the 11th. So that's less than 33 days out from now. Absolutely, you can get your tickets at the Eventbrite. Just search for Karma Stage Play, Eventbrite, that is. And, of course, you know, if they reach out to us via email, which is info.theformulagroup@gmail.com. That's info.theformulagroup@gmail.com. We can definitely get you tickets. You know, direct to where you can get tickets from local hair salons and so forth. Of course, you can always find me at, you know, I am Sean, www.iamseanhutchinson.com. Instagram, I think I'm on there as 7 Ambitious Mind. That's number 7 Ambitious Mind. And of course, Facebook is just Sean Hutchinson. And as far as the ticket prices, I think the ticket price, if I'm correct, I think general admission is $25, and VIP, I think it's $33 or $35. My team put it together, but I think it's $33 or $35.
Now, Trisha, I'd like to because I know it's a very close to his heart, and you know, talk about helping the single mothers and everything. Can you talk just briefly about how excited he was when you told him about Dave Emanuel and Give Hunger the Boot?
Oh, yes. Well, Sean was asking me who he was thinking about doing a donation to an organization, you know, in the community. And my first thought was Dave Emanuel would Give Hunger the Boot, because, like he says, it's going to help the communities for single parents or anyone who basically is in need. And my first thought, okay, Sean, I think that your organization could probably link you and David Emanuel up. So I thought, Tom, I said, that's when I asked you, Tom, what do you think about Give Hungry the Boot to introduce him to Sean Hutchison? So that's why I thought it would be a good idea to link the two up.
Well, Dave is excited about the opportunity to work with you, Sean. He is right now city councilman for Snellville, Georgia. We had a city hall meeting tonight, so he wouldn't be able to be on. But definitely we'll be in communication with him, you know, sometime this week. And he's ecstatic to know that you're interested in helping, and he's excited about the play and the local performing arts. So at this particular time, the challenge is for everyone to come and support this man of greatness, because we can't, just like Sean said, we can't do it all by ourselves, because we will come into some kind of whole big, huge mountain of trouble and empower. You had to empower us to get over the mountaintop. And we have to come together and stop being afraid to help each other. So I challenge everyone, you know, who are local and far, to come and support Karma June 11th at Shiloh High School, which is off of 264 in the south of Gwinnett County. And, the time of the play.
The time of the play, it starts at 6:45. For joint admission, I think VIP starts at 6 o'clock because we normally have, you know, the VIP session, you know, it comes with, you know, catered meal and red carpet. You know, they get to meet the cast members.
Okay, let me tell you about the catered meal. The catered meal was very outstanding. It was outstanding, okay? The food was great. I'm not sure who it was that catered it, but it was excellent. And the red carpet was great. And everything was just A1.
If I may add, the catering was done by Trevor Hutchinson, which is my dad.
Okay. Sal, you know that Trish and I want to do the media, so I'm sure the media is going to be VIP'd. Isn't that right?
Sure. Mm-hmm. Yes.
I want us to do the media for your show, and I'm sure the media will get the VIP.
Absolutely. Absolutely, absolutely, no doubt.
Well, listen, everyone, thank you all so much. And there's a lot of people just back there on the lounge chair, obviously listening in. For those who miss the show, they can come back and look on Sean's Facebook wall, Trish's Facebook wall, my Facebook wall, Tom Libsy. If you have any need for media exposure, please contact Tom Libsy, via our town. OurTown.com, Snellville, Georgia, or you can Facebook message me, Trisha Bailey, Facebook, her as well, and she's a lookout lady. But I know right now Sean has to go catch a plane.
Appreciate you so much.
Listen, thank you all so much. Thank you, Trisha. Thank you, Mr. Sean Hutchinson.
Thank you. Thank you, Sean Hutchinson.
Uh-huh. Much gratitude for having me on the show, Mrs. Bailey. Mr. Samzovic.
Okay.
And we'll send the link out to you. So therefore, everybody, just let's support each other. Let's group. Let's create a team of success. And karma in a positive way.
Ah, excellent. Thank you, Tom.
Okay. Thank you now.
Thank you, sir.
Okay, bye-bye.
Mm-hmm. Bye-bye.